Welcome to the Yacht Rock Show with your captain, Eddie Gans, with First Mate Joe Carlisle and Samir at the wheel. And here's your host, Eddie Gans.
Welcome aboard, my friends. And we are back, Joey.
Hey, welcome to a very special edition of the Yacht Rock Show.
You got that right.
Tell everybody why it's special.
Oh, we got one of my favorites, a modern yacht rock artist, and so much more.
Sure.
He just happens to dabble with the yacht rock, and he does it very well. He brings it to a new generation.
Well, see, he's influenced. He's
big
influenced
time.
Mainly by it.
Big time.
But his thing is pretty original, you know?
I mean,
it's
absolutely.
Like what a yacht rock artist would have turned into had they stayed, you know, relevant all this time until
correct
now.
The mundo.
Which is what we look for. You know, we
that's
don't just
right.
play the same old Sirius XM playlist.
Ah, please. They don't even know what they're doing over there. The guy's asleep at the wheel. But, folks, strap yourself in because we've got LaFlex in the house. Joe and I go deep diving and we get heavy details all behind the scenes and all the good stuff. I've been dying to do this interview.
Except the name. We didn't get the name.
We didn't get the name. I thought it was Reginald Dwight.
Right.
But
I didn't even ask because I don't want to give up his alter ego.
But I had a feeling that he was, you know, into all this yacht stuff. I knew it.
Sure.
And he loves David Foster, the Jay Graydon. Well, you're going to hear it. He even loves Joe's favorite bass player, Pino Palladino, the fretless. We even talk about that. So for the bass players out there, got a treat for you. He's a one-man band, this guy.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, outside of the LaFlex thing, though, he talks about how he does, like, other session work and stuff, and he uses other people. But for the LaFlex thing, he's a one-man band.
Yeah. So, folks, I want to let you guys know, and just, you know, as we get closer, that the Yacht Rock Show is going to have its own channel very soon, and it's going to be on theradio.com. Not radio.com, it's theradio.com. And the Yacht Rock Show is going to be launching there very soon. This is going to be so much fun. We're going to go live. You're going to, you know, call. You guys can call in and all that. It's going to be great. And the interviews, woo, baby. Strap yourself in. That's all I'm going to say. That's right. So, Joe, what do we do? Should we start?
Well, yeah, whatever you always say, without any further.
Without any further. Here is LaFlex. Everybody, I want to welcome. I've been looking forward to this interview because this guy is so talented. I'm talking about Mr. LaFlex is with us here. I want to welcome him to the Yacht Rock Show. How you doing, LaFlex?
I'm doing very well indeed. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, man, this is a pleasure. First of all, I want to tell you that Joe and I are big fans.
Yeah, Eddie's practically your ambassador, your U.S. ambassador. He's telling everybody about LaFlex.
I noticed. Well, actually, whenever I go on my Twitter, I don't go on Twitter very often, but I sort of check it every couple of days and see notifications. And there's always notifications. Eddie's been playing this track or playing that track.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's fantastic. Thank you so much for the support. It's incredible.
I think it started with the Georgie Porgie cover, right? Because that was what we were doing. I mean, you know Yacht Rock. Yacht Rock's all Toto and stuff like that anyway. So I think, right? Wasn't that what got your attention, the Georgie Porgie cover?
That's exactly what happened. I stumbled across your music through the cover that you did of Georgie Porgie.
Ah, okay, yes.
Yeah, yeah, man. Because I'm always looking for, there's a lot of folks out there that are doing modern or new yacht.
Yeah.
And when I saw that you did Georgie Porgie, I was like, whoa, because honestly, between me and you, I'm tired of, I don't even play it. It's not, honestly, it's not even in the playlist. I don't play the Toto Georgie Porgie.
Right.
Because it's here in the States, it's burned out. I don't know about over there, but here that song was, it's overkill.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what the yacht rock genre is doing in the UK. Is there a presence of it? I mean, do you sense it anywhere? Are there any specialty stations playing yacht rock?
I'm not necessarily aware of specialty stations, although I'm sure there are. But actually, as a genre, it's very strong. The messages I get from fans just saying, you know, we wish there was more of this music. You know, the stuff that you do about and it seems to be in the UK, it is actually pretty strong. So I'm very pleased about that, yeah.
And when's the first time you heard the term yacht rock?
Well, I'll have to confess, it probably would be...
Just
when,
now.
When it was solidified, it was definitely you guys and your show, but I had... Oh, okay. It was sort of floating around... you know, beforehand, but I never really took any notice of it, I don't think. And then once you started to sort of become aware of you guys, then 100%, I thought, this is exactly what it is. And I was describing it as what I do as sort of yacht pop a long time ago, because not necessarily so rocky, but so I thought, yeah, it's a great sort of thing to listen to when you're on your yacht.
It sure is.
That's great.
I know, I always listen to it on my yacht.
Exactly, yeah. In the bath, playing with your yacht, listening to LaFlex.
Right.
Hey, LaFlex, so do me a favor. First of all, let me let you in on Joe and I. Joe and I are both, I'm a singer, studio vocalist for many years, and Joe is a fretless bass player, very accomplished also. We've been doing this for quite a while, so I just wanted to give you a little insight about us.
Joe, I'm such a huge fan of fretless bass as well. So it's always been a thing. I can dabble in bass, but I've never played a fretless. But the fretless bass sound with the chorus on it is one of those sounds that just
so much.
You know, there's sort of three sounds in the 80s apart from the obvious sort of snare drums. There's the electric piano. There's a Michael Massa electric piano like Rhodes. There's the Mike Landau. Electric guitar, which you hear,
sure. Right?
And then there's the fretless bass, which you hear on a lot of the sort of Paul Young records, if you know any of those,
right?
Yep.
Yes, incredible. I know Pino.
Yeah, Pino.
Well,
yeah, so, I mean those sounds are just like heaven.
Oh, absolutely. To this day, I mean, he just came out with something new with Blake Mills. Have you been hip to that yet?
I haven't actually.
It's like his first solo thing, and Blake Mills kind of helped it along, and it just came out this month.
Wow, I'm going to check that out then. Thank
you for
telling me.
It's called Notes with Attachments, so you'll really enjoy that.
Okay.
I'll let you in on a little behind the scenes. When I was doing it wasn't a jingle that I was doing. We were in the city, and we were at Electric Lady Studios. We were doing I was doing background vocals for this Mijares.
Right.
And the producer had hired Steve Ferrone from the Average White Band.
Yeah.
And he hired Pino Palladino. Now, I didn't know this. I found out because one of the girls that was doing background vocals with me told me, oh, this guy, yeah. You have to hear this guy. It plays fretless. I said, wait, does he have like curly hair? I said, yeah.
He said he's an Italian last name, you said,
right.
She said.
I told Joe, I said, Joe, get your ass over here now.
Yeah, and that was the first time I met him. That was 94. That was actually March 27th was the anniversary of it. Not that I'm a crazy fan or anything.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Remember, it was back in 94, and I stayed in touch with him ever since. He's been really sweet with me.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, I think I've seen him play once. I've been friends with Hamish Stewart from the Average White Band. About 20, 25 years. I'll go back with him. And I'm always, the days we used to hang out and go, and he used to play a lot of gigs around town and stuff. And his band that he used to have would, you know, Chop and Change. And Pino, I saw once or twice with him. It was incredible.
So you must mean Jim Jam, you know, Jim Jam?
Yeah, Jim Jam. Yeah,
with
the Jim Jam
Mullen. It was Jim Mullen. And who was the drummer? I forget the drummer.
Do you know?
It's escaping me. It's Hamish Stewart, Pino, and Jim Mullen, and it was, I forget the drummer. He's everywhere, and I forgot him already.
He is. Hold on.
I apologize when I remember.
Is it Ian?
Yes, it is.
The Welsh guy,
Ian Thomas.
Ian Thomas. Right. Because I've used him on a number of sessions over the years. Yeah, he's awesome guy.
So you do. You're not just a one man band. You do actually like to hire outside people.
Not for the LaFlex stuff, but for my other music that I do.
Okay, so the LaFlex is just an alter ego that you're doing stuff.
Yes,
this really the 80s influence is obvious and all that. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like Giorgio Moroder with George Michael. With I'm sure you've heard all the comparisons already.
Yeah,
that's very flattering.
But it's great.
It is excellent. Yeah, it's very flattening. Yeah, it's just a hodgepodge of all my influences. You know, I do music is my main job and always has been. And so I do a lot of music for various things. And I just felt I needed to do something for myself that just, you know, just to keep my sanity, write music that I wanted to do and what I wanted to hear. So that's how the Flex basically started, just me doing what I used to buy and what I used to love. So I just did it on my own for my own pleasure. If anyone likes it, it's good.
I love the covers you've done. I love the songs I wish I had written.
Yeah.
that's a nice love letter to all these great tunes.
It is, yeah. I'm actually just working on the next volume of that at this moment. I was working on one of those today for the next volume.
Really?
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
So end of the year, probably.
So what is your pedigree like? I mean, where did your influences come from? Were your parents musical?
My grandfather and my dad were both musical. They played sort of like the organ, and my dad played the guitar. But it was actually my mum that got me into the music I'm into. She would come home from like the record store with all the soul records, the Luther Vandross and the you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And very much got me into that. And I would just sort of, you know, take the headphones with the little curly leads and the record player, and I'd sit there for hours and just. That would be me, and so that was my introduction to that. And it was just those melodies and the soulful chords and just the 80s sound just growing up. So it was like a comfort, and so that's where my sort of heart lies musically.
So you must be a fan of David Foster, Jay Graydon.
Oh my God! That you just mentioned, you know, the two of the Grail names there, incredibly. I was actually today considering doing a YouTube video about some of the David Foster chords and techniques and stuff that that he does. And you know, Jay Graydon obviously is a incredible songwriter as well. Obviously, he wrote the song "Someone" for DeBarge that I covered as well. So you know, the musicianship of these guys is just off the scale. And so you know, I've sort of become like a student of what they do and what they've done over the years, and you know, just try to put my own sort of thing on it, and it just keeps me happy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we love what you do, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. It's really tasteful. Go ahead, Joe.
What you do outside of La Flex, how similar is that to, like, how are your influences influencing what you're doing outside of La Flex? Or is it completely different? Are you doing, like punk or something like that?
No, outside of La Flex, it's completely different. I do some more orchestral-based stuff. I do more what you would call current chart based stuff.
Okay.
It's very much to order. It's things like TV ads and like that. So it's not anything that's necessarily a pleasure, although it is a pleasure to make music for a living, but this is just like a sort of thing that I do. But La Flex is very much a personal thing, and it's what I enjoy doing. And it's actually become, as it's becoming more and more recognized, or you know, more and more people are following me, I'm actually able to do La Flex more than that, all my other things, really. So it's actually becoming my full-time job almost.
Wow.
Have you performed any of it live?
Yeah, I've done a couple of things live. I actually just started doing it before the COVID thing hit, and then obviously I had a few other things lined up, which then obviously were cancelled. So I'm hoping once it all gets back to normal, I'll carry on and do the live gigs.
How bad is it over there? I don't want to dwell on that, but how bad is it over there now for you guys? Locked up? What's the story?
We're still currently in lockdown at the moment. I think we're coming out. It's been relaxed in the past couple of days, so people are going out and doing bits and pieces, but everyone still needs a haircut.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Right.
But
we have had family members doing haircuts, so they don't come out that well.
Yeah. Well, I did my own over the bath, and then I couldn't post any pictures for a few days after that. So.
That's funny. Hey, so where does the name La Flex come from? We want to know.
Well, it was a temporary name I was using. When I started the project, I just thought I need a temporary name until I can think of something better, and I never did think of anything better. it was a nickname. Flex was a nickname I was just a joke between some friends over something, nothing serious. So I thought I'll just use that and stick "le" at the front to make it sound a bit more French and interesting, and then I'll change it when I think of a better name. And then as I said, I didn't bother to think of anything, so it just kind of stuck.
Because your real name is Reginald Dwight.
Real name is Reginald Dwight. Yeah, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
That's funny.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so you're no stranger to having a sense of humor. If anybody goes on your website, I mean, you have those pictures with those teeth. You look like a Nick Park character.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
It's you know who Nick Park is? Are you familiar with
Nick
Park?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, totally.
I love Wallace and Gromit.
Joe, I think he looks like Austin Powers.
It's Austin Powers, too.
They're not that bad. They're just large.
Yeah.
I was going to tell you, Ed, does he remind you at all of Ali Baroud?
Well, I was going to get to that, but yeah. you beat me to it. Have you heard of Ole Baroud?
No, I haven't. No.
Well, Ole Baroud is another artist, you know, similar to you in certain ways, right, Joe?
Yeah, from Hungary? He's from Hungary.
No, I think he's Norwegian.
I'm sorry, Norway. Yeah.
Oh, Ole, yeah, Ole is a Norwegian name, yeah.
Yeah, you should check him out.
I will do, yeah.
Killer. Absolutely. Ole Baroud, yeah. We also play him, and I consider him to do, he's very like New Yacht, big time.
Yeah.
It's like a cross between Steely Dan, come on, Joe, who else?
And LaFlex.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, he's his own thing, and it's, again, another one of the one-man band things. Like, everything he's doing, it's all him.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, I'm sure you know Jacob Collier, same thing.
Yes,
everybody's
of course,
doing that one. Everybody's doing the one-man band thing, so Ole's the same.
Yeah.
Now, LaFlex, you play guitar, keyboards, right?
Yes, keyboard's my main thing. I play guitar as well. I dabble in bass because if I have to, certain times you need to use a real bass. And I can play a 4/4 beat and nothing else on a drum kit. That's about it.
Now, a lot of people don't know this, or maybe some do, but you're also... you do a lot of remixes, am I right?
Yes, I do. I get asked to do a lot of remixes. I don't always accept them. Because I think, a couple of reasons. But firstly, I need to think that I bring something to the song that I'm remixing. I don't just think, that'll get some money and I'll do that. It's more of can I make it sound LaFlex-ish, you know? Does it lend itself to my sound? I have to sort of, you know, want to do it. And you know, does it work with the song? And secondly, I don't want to be putting too many things out there. Just, you know,
yeah. If you're choosy, you're choosy, it will further your career. I remember those are words that were spoken by the great Pino Palladino. We were just
exactly,
talking about.
Yeah,
that's true.
Which he's done. You know, I mean, he's furthered his career by being choosy.
Yeah, very much so.
So you've gotten tremendous compliments. The one that comes to mind, which we briefly mentioned, was somebody was saying he's like a George Michael with better beats. I agree.
that's very, you know, I mean, I've seen that before. I personally can't see it myself, but maybe it's just because I just hold George Michael in such high esteem. It's just like, no, I don't think that's thing. But yeah, I mean, it's strange to hear that comparison. I mean, if you want to be compared to anybody, that's, you know, that's who better in my eyes, yeah, you know, really. I mean, so yeah, I really do appreciate the... that sort of comparison, but it's not something I sort of read a lot into, to be honest.
I hear you. I'm sure you're a big fan of Level 42.
I'm a huge, huge fan of Level 42. Yeah, I mean, George Michael, Level 42, and that kind of thing. Growing up, that was just it. That was my stuff. So.
Go West, I'm sure you love
Go West. Absolutely, Go West. I mean, when Go West came out, I remember at the time, it was just like a hammer blow. It was incredible.
I love them too.
The synth sounds and the production and just the absolute catchiness of the songs. It was incredible.
Yeah, I hear it in your production too. Do you use any vintage keyboards, or it's all like vintage plugins and stuff?
No. So it's all just, you know, Logic Pro and plugins. I used to work in professional level studios. Going back 20 years or so, and so I've used all those synths and the hardware gear, and from my point of view, it's an absolute huge pain in the ass, to be honest. You've got to have the space for it, you've got to have it all plugged in, you've got to have it all midied up. It really is. I mean, some people will just, you know, swear by the authenticity of it, but for me personally, the convenience of just having a computer and a speakers and a little keyboard is far outweighs any authenticity. And I don't think anyone particularly cares that's listening. You know, anyone that listens to the music is just listening to the music. They don't think that Roland Juno doesn't sound like a real one. It might be a plugin. They don't even know what Roland Juno is.
Right.
So, yeah.
Even the Rhodes, I mean, the Keyscape. Oh. Have you seen the Keyscape stuff?
Yes. I mean, it's incredible. The level.
It really is.
Yeah.
Have you used the real Rhodes or no?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, okay. I love that. If you can get your hands on the real thing, I always, you know, would right. do it. But, you know, for why
Rhodes is the only thing I could say. Maybe you want to have a real Rhodes because the hammer action is so unique on a Rhodes.
Yeah,
that maybe absolutely. It makes you play differently. But, you know, there's plenty of things with hammer action. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Splitting hairs, you know.
Absolutely.
Do you remember a group called the Yellow Jackets?
I'm vaguely familiar, but
Russell Ferrante.
Oh yeah, I know that name. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a tremendous badass on the Fender Rhodes.
Yes, very much so. And Greg Fillinganes as well.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously on the Rhodes and just keyboards generally, such a huge influence on me. I remember even it was a Richard Marx song, "Keep Coming Back." Where he does the little Rhodes intro and stuff, and it's just like, oh my god, it's incredible, really, really is. And then obviously the stuff he wrote with Lionel Richie on the Rhodes, you know, was fantastic as well.
His personal Rhodes, I think, was a gift from Michael Jackson.
Oh my god!
Yeah. And I remember he was doing a session. I saw it somewhere for Quincy Jones, and he was using that Rhodes. And Quincy Jones was having a problem with the sound of the Rhodes, and he called it his nickname for Quincy's nickname for Greg was Mousy. He called him Mouse. He goes, Mouse,
that's
man.
Right.
There's something. Remember that? I don't know where we saw that. Mouse, there's something wrong with that Rhodes. That Rhodes is dead, man. Come on, Mouse. You got to get a better Rhodes than that. And I think they probably ordered what's the famous Rhodes that everybody talks about? Rhodes E. I think it was the E, not the E model. It's Rhodes E because it was labeled E from the rental company. And it was the one Rhodes that everybody went nuts for. So I'm assuming that's probably what they got since. Foster and all those guys.
It was always rented out, wasn't it? That particular model. Yeah. I remember I was in an interview with Griffin guys seeing that. Yeah. And they just said that one model was just like magic. If you walked into the studio and you saw that one was in there, it was like, yes.
I think it was David Foster who discovered it. He called up somebody and said, I just used the Rhodes that was like the Rhodes from heaven. And they all just took note of it. And anytime they ever asked for one, they asked for the Rhodes E. Like I said, it was not the Model E. It was actually, they were labeled A, B, C, D, E, F, because there was a bunch of Rhodes at the, is that the plural of Rhodes? Rhodes? There was a bunch of them at the rental place, and the one that was stenciled E was that particular one, so they'd always ask for the E
that
one.
That was the one. And obviously David Foster had that thing where he would combine the Rhodes with the piano.
With a grand piano.
Right. And he had that hard-hitting, bright piano sound, which is just incredible. You know, it's all over all over the Chicago stuff, and it's just unbelievable. Really, really.
Are you a fan of Donald Fagen?
Only in passing. It goes a bit too jazzy for my tastes in places.
Okay.
I mean, obviously musicianship and the voicings of the chords, I do study that, I'll be honest, but I don't listen to a lot of that kind of stuff, you know, day to day.
Although you do cover How Insensitive on the
Joe Beams.
Yeah, the Joe Beams.
Jazz tinge, but it's more Brazilian. So.
Yeah, I do love a bit of bossa nova.
That's very nice, though. Love that.
Yeah. It was just one of those ones I just felt I had to do a Joe Beams song because the harmony and the melody of that stuff is just so
insane.
Good.
Insane.
It's absolutely insane. So I thought I need to do one. And obviously you can't do The Girl from Ipanema.
No, you cannot do it. That's like you can't play Stairway to Heaven in a music store on the guitar.
Oh, Jesus.
No. So that was it. And that was the only one I thought I could maybe get away with learning the Portuguese so I could record the Portuguese version. So
what about, I love the, first of all, that song, Take Good Care of My Heart.
Yes.
You must love that song, right?
I love that song. I mean, obviously, Whitney, my favorite female singer was Whitney Houston. And those early Whitney albums were just absolute gold through and through. The musicianship, the songwriting, the production, everything. And that particular song just really, really stuck out for me. I don't think it was ever a single or anything like that, but it was just always growing up. That was just a song when it would come on, it would just do something to me. And it was a weird choice, I think, to do. It was only because I had an opportunity with Ali Rose, who sang it with me.
Yes.
What's
her name again?
Ali Rose. Yeah.
She's great.
She's incredible, yes. So she's, I've used, I still do use her on sessions for my other, you know, music that I do.
Right.
I just said to her, look, I want to do a duet for the Reflex. And I want to do this song. And she was so, you know, eager. So we had a go, and if it doesn't come out well, we just won't release it. And I just thought it came out really, really well. I was really happy.
It was really well done.
It's great. I tell you, we love it. And the video is so funny.
Yeah. Oh, that was a fun day. That really was. It's just one of those things. God. I would just film everything that you do, and then just see if you can make a compilation out of it. And you know what? It was great. It was my first video to ever pass a million streams on YouTube as well, which was great.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was really, really happy with that.
Oh, you deserve it. I love what you did with it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I wanted to make sure I paid it proper respect, because, you know, whenever I do a cover, because they're songs I wish I'd written, these songs, I always need to feel that I've respected them. I don't change the chords. I don't do anything that they haven't done, but I just do them with my own sort of mark on them, and just hope that everyone likes them and thinks that I've treated them nicely, you know.
What do you think of Daryl Hall?
Oh, my God. I love Daryl Hall. Hall & Oates, so good. I mean, there's a possibility of a Hall & Oates song making its way onto a future song I've written. I've got a couple of them, which, you know, I have to just try them out and see if they suit me. But yes, definitely.
I wanted to ask you about A Thousand Nights. That video is so funny.
Oh, God.
Who's the girl, by the way?
So that's her name's Kid, Kid Narida. So what happened was, she actually, she's a model and a singer as well. And she contacted me on SoundCloud and just said, you know, I love your stuff. And, you know, is there a possibility of doing something? And so I checked her out, and because she wasn't very far from me, I just said, you know, come down, have a chat. She wanted to talk about, you know, doing some stuff for her, or remixing or something. And so we got on really well and became friends. And so I worked on a few things with her.
Right.
And then I had to do a video. I'd written this song, A Thousand Nights, and I thought I'd love to do a video for it. What could it be? And I decided I wanted to sort of use her. I sort of had the concept of it being this, you know, sort of Skype or sex call, as it was. but I didn't know anyone that could be the girl. And she was just crazy enough to do it. So I said to her, look, this is the plan. This is the song. Do you want to do it? And she was like, absolutely. Although we, you know, my part was recorded completely separately to hers. I was basically recording her, and then when she'd finished, I sort of got my bit done and then sliced it all together. But it turned out to be fantastic, and, you know,
well, just a great, and it's so funny. Oh my! Every time I watch it, it cracks me up.
It is.
Oh, you really are a fan. You're watching the videos and everything. I mean, I'm listening to the music.
Well, let me tell you, besides Georgie Porgy, what sold me was A Thousand Nights. When I heard that, I said, oh, man, this guy is doing modern yacht. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Lacord changes. Oh.
Yeah, it was a good day when I wrote that one. It really was.
Beautiful song. Beautiful.
Yeah.
No, but you know what I like? That you take these songs. Listen, that song Clouds Across the Moon, that's a cover?
Yes, that's a cover.
I didn't know that. You make it your own.
Yeah.
The beauty.
Yeah, it's a UK artist. Who was that? Oh, you said the
Ra Band. So, again, I remember being maybe about 16 years old when that came out, or something like that. I'm not sure. Well, younger than that, maybe. And I just remember being in the kitchen and hearing it on the radio and thinking, this song is incredible. And then, you know, back in those days, there was no streaming or anything. You had to wait for the song to come on again to hear it.
Right.
You couldn't.
Right, right.
You know,
remember those days?
Yeah, remember those days. So I had to just sit by the radio waiting for it to come on again to find out who it was. And that was it. I mean, that song was just a part of my life growing up. I just remember it. And I thought, I wonder, and it was obviously a female singing it originally and stuff. I thought, I wonder if I could do a version of that. And then what the incredible thing was, after it came out, the guy that wrote it, the Ra Band stands for Richard Hewson, is the guy that, it was the one guy. And the guy that wrote it, he's, you know, in his 60s or 70s now. And he messaged me, he sent me an email and just said, thank you for doing this song. You know, you've really done an incredible version. You've really paid homage to it. You've kept the chords intact.
Isn't that nice?
I was absolutely so touched. I was really, really pleased. You know, and so many people that like the original have said to me, you know, they like my version, though, you know, because I've not ruined it, you know, because a lot of times people can do a cover and ruin it for people.
Yeah, you're right. Now, you see, that song, I don't think that was popular here in the States.
No, it probably wasn't heard of in the States. No.
Never. Yeah, I know it because of you.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Now, the other one that caught me was when you did Zoom.
Yes.
Now, Zoom, school me on that. Are they, where are they from, the original band?
So Fat Larry's band.
Fat Larry.
Yeah, Fat Larry's band. I think Fat Larry was the drummer, actually. But American band in the late 70s, I think, mid to late 70s.
Okay.
Kind of one hit wonder. I think they did another one. Act Like You Know was another song of theirs.
Ah, that's right.
So they had that. That was their sort of the huge hit. And again, just another one growing up just meant so much to me. Well, I just, one of the songs that made me want to be a songwriter. So again, it was one of those things. I'll try it out and see if it works. It might not suit me. And I was very, very happy that I got it to work because it's a great new take on it. And it's introduced loads of new people to it that didn't know the original. And so many people have actually looked up the original since hearing mine, and they listen to that as well, which is really cool.
Let me ask you, so you don't put albums out, correct? You put singles?
No, albums out.
They're albums.
I put back.
If you would have done your research, Eddie.
Sorry.
That's okay. My new album's out on April the 16th, actually. So,
what's it called?
It's called Pay Close Attention.
Okay.
So my new single came out last week, which was One You Want. Been gone with the reaction has been incredible to this song. I've been waiting to put it out, and I've had more messages for this new single just come out than probably any other song that I've released. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, we're playing it already.
Oh, thank you very much indeed.
Absolutely.
So we mentioned your, the 80s influence is obvious, but I was struck by when I was previewing Flex Appeal, the album, and I noticed there's more of a 90s influence there. Was that a conscious effort? I mean, do you hear that? Am I mistaken? I'm hearing like you went from the 80s stuff and everything else, and I hear more 90s keyboard sounds or 90s production value on Flex Appeal. Almost like, what's the guy you like, Eddie? Robbie Neville.
Robbie
Neville. Something like that around
It's not necessarily anything like that I do is not ever a conscious decision.
Okay.
It really is just an instinctive thing. I write the song and then I just play around with sounds and try this and I'll try that, and then I'll leave it, and then I'll revisit it like a month later and listen to it fresh, and then I'll maybe completely scrap it or I'll carry on from where I was. Okay. And these are all just sounds that are just in my head, in my consciousness, different eras and things, and I just put stuff in as I hear it. I don't sort of take much notice of where it came from, so yeah. Okay. I can appreciate it. Probably would maybe have a touch of 90s about it, but it wasn't an intentional thing. It's just I just do what I like and hope that everyone else likes it.
No, I'm telling you. You know what's funny? That Samir, our engineer, he's in his 20s, and sometimes we'll play some songs from the 80s that still sound fresh today.
Mm.
You know, that sound like they were recorded a couple of weeks ago.
Or something about it would be unique, like a drum sound or something. He's a drummer.
Yeah.
So he'll Shazam something just to save it.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the 80s songs have really stood up. I mean, obviously there's some that have completely fallen away.
Yeah.
A lot of them have really stood the test of time. It's great. Because what I do is very much based in that. It sort of helps me sound old but modern at the same time.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I think it was last week's show. We touched on that briefly, where some of the, even the Kenny Loggins stuff, not all of it, but like some of it is kind of the danger zone. You know?
Yeah.
The cheese level is overflowing.
Yeah. He's a big proponent of a component of Yacht Rock.
Oh, absolutely.
The top three after Toto and all that.
Of course, yeah. I mean, the Toto and the Kenny Loggins and the Michael McDonald thing is just, something that's absolutely incredible and huge influences. But yeah, I mean, it's funny when you listen to some of that, what you might call the real on the nose 80s stuff, like the Danger Zone and things like that. It's still incredible fun to listen to, but they do really sound, as you say, from that era. They don't sort of stand up as sort of modern things.
Yeah, a lot of it has fallen like you say, to the wayside, where it's like it sounds horrible. But a lot of it has stood the test of time, and especially somebody like Giorgio Moroder. I think Giorgio Moroder was so ahead of his time.
Yeah,
with the Donna Summer stuff.
Yes, the Donna Summer stuff was fantastic. Actually, only last night I watched American Gigolo last night.
Really?
I always love watching 80s films. He did the soundtrack for. And it just watching it was like the soundtrack is incredible as well.
How about Scarface?
Yeah, of course. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, your album Are We There Yet has a lot of hints of that to me. I was hearing that. And like the tune Unrequited.
Oh, yes, Unrequited,
there's a lot of Scarface, Giorgio Moroder. I can almost hear it on the Scarface soundtrack, the sound you got.
Yeah.
It's really, really great.
That was an instrumental that I just had there. And I thought, does it work for me to put an instrumental on my record? And I suddenly thought, well, I don't care. It's up to me. I put what I want on it. There's no A&R man to say no. So
that's
So I just thought I'll put it on there because I like it. And if people like my stuff, if I like it, then they might like it. And honestly, so many people have written to me to say they love that Unrequited song music. So,
and it's subtitled La Flex Theme. So La Flex is that like sit at the top of your pyramid and cascade down on all your other stuff?
Yeah, I just thought it could be my theme song. You know, if I come on stage to it or something. You know,
so that's good. Yeah, like Mike Tyson coming into the ring.
Mike Tyson, yeah. I know, because I loved. It was almost a little bit based on, not completely, but I had in mind certain sounds in it, which were in the Rocky IV soundtrack by Vince DiCola. Some of the training montages and stuff in the Rocky IV film, some of the synth sounds and things like that, which were just, you know, absolutely fantastic. So there was little nods and from places like that as well. Mm-hmm.
Who would you love to do a duet with if you could?
Who would I love to do a duet with? Oh, my God. Oh, Mylène Farmer, who you would have no clue who she is.
I don't. School us.
Mylène Farmer is like the kind of Madonna of French music. She sings exclusively in French, and she's been around since the 80s, like Madonna. Incredibly famous if you're French or French Canadian. Right. She is basically Madonna. She sells out stadiums worldwide. Still doing stuff to this day. And she, after Whitney Houston, she's my second sort of favorite female singer. And I'm a huge, huge fan of her. And I would love to do stuff. I've actually written a couple of things just in case our paths should ever cross. I'll go, look, I've got something ready. you know, so, but yeah, Mylène Farmer, I would love to do.
So let's say, so we know that George Michael was definitely an influence, correct?
Oh, huge, huge influence. Right? Yeah, absolutely up there.
Who else? Daryl Hall?
Daryl Hall, Luther Vandross, Richard Marx again.
Richard Marx.
Richard Marx. I'm a huge fan of his voice and his songwriting is absolutely incredible. All of that sort of soul stuff, and going even to the more cheesy side of stuff like Michael Bolton and things like that. I mean, I'm just a huge fan of that kind of thing.
Right.
But I tend to be a fan of ABBA as well. I've mentioned loads of times as well the song craft. But I tend to be a fan of songwriters as well as artists because you know, people like Diane Warren and stuff.
You
know, when you talk about big songwriters, so. It was a thing for me whenever I would get a record when I was younger, when I'd buy, you know, you could buy vinyl and stuff, and you could, or the cassette, and you could open up the inlay and actually find out who wrote stuff and who played on stuff.
Right.
So I tended to become fans of songwriters and look for songwriters. So Babyface, for example, was an absolute huge influence. The songwriting and the production. So I would literally just go and buy an album by an unknown artist if I knew he had a song on it, just to hear what it would be. Sure. So.
Yeah, all miss liner notes, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you'll be pleased to know I've got vinyl and CDs coming out later this year, and it's
awesome.
Limited edition.
Oh,
but the liner notes still only say you did everything.
Well, that's the difference. Well, yeah, it's that, but it's got a bit of a sort of little bit of a biography in there, and plenty of other liner notes in there. So it's going to be some interesting stuff on there.
So, LaFlex, do you come from a big family?
Probably just a normal sized family, not too big. Yeah, there's not hundreds of us.
Brothers, sisters?
Yeah, just a brother. But I'm the only one doing anything musical, to be honest. Okay. Everyone else is pretty normal. I'm the crazy one, I think.
So we were talking about a lot of the older influences, which we all have. But any contemporaries of yours, or people younger than you that have caught your eye or your ear?
I have to be honest. I don't want to say I detest all modern music, but I don't listen to anything at all that's current. I don't listen to the radio. Wow. I don't blame you. I don't know who's in the charts. I don't know anything.
Well, charts, no, but I mean fringe stuff, like fringe Jacob stuff. Collier. You got to like Jacob Collier.
Yeah, I've watched his YouTube stuff, but
Brotherly? Do you know Brotherly?
I don't know Brotherly. Well,
you don't know Brotherly?
No, I will check this out. No, I don't. I listen to 80s stuff, and 90s stuff, and because there's so much stuff that I haven't discovered still from the 80s and 90s.
From that era, yeah.
But the only modern person that I listen to who I absolutely love because of his songcraft and his voice and his playing is John Mayer.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was just going to say that.
John Mayer is absolutely incredible. I listen to everything he does. I'm a huge fan of him.
He's quite a poet.
Yeah.
There you go.
But aside from John Mayer, nothing at all modern in any
way,
shape, or form.
What about Michael Bublé?
Nope. Michael Bublé.
Okay. I figured I'd throw that in there.
No. But I do listen to, talking to Michael Bublé and some of the songs he does, I have a huge passion for songs from like the Second World War time era, that sort of Cole Porter type thing. I listen to a lot of that kind of big band era stuff.
Right.
As well, so because there's a lot of incredible song craft going on there. I really do study songwriters and stuff like that. So,
wow,
yeah.
So, are you a night owl? Are we keeping you awake? I know it's 1 a.m. there. What is it?
It's 2 a.m. Yeah,
it's 2 a.m. Oh, I hope you're a night owl. I feel so bad that we did this to you.
I'm generally quite early to bed actually because I'm a bit lazy than that, but it's okay.
No. You're delirious now. You think you're talking to some famous duo over in America and we're really nobodies.
Just some randomers that are called
random.
Yeah, we're not even going to air this anywhere. It's just for us to have a good time.
Yeah. I had to come and talk to you guys. And, the support you give me is absolutely incredible. It's so appreciated. It really is good. Yeah, it really is.
You've been to the States, right?
Yes, I was in New York to do my video for Your Lips, Your Hips. Yeah, so
yeah, you were in Queens, New York.
I was in Brooklyn. I was everywhere in New York. Actually, we went all over the place. I stayed in Brooklyn, which was great. I rode the subway up and down and had great fun and just had a wander about and met some friends that I hadn't seen in a long time. And it was great. And actually, that came from just an email that a fan had sent me. Just said, "Look, we're young filmmakers in New York. We would love to do a video for you. Jump on a plane and let's do it." And it was one of those things. Well, am I going to get kidnapped at the airport and never seen again, or was I just
right.
It's just one of those things you just do, and it turned out to be great, and I've made some new friends for life. It's fantastic. So,
that was a couple of years ago.
That was maybe last year or late the year before. Yeah. So I had great fun.
All right, so let's let this poor bloke go to sleep. We so appreciate your time, Reflex. We're so happy that we got to talk to you finally.
So listen, before we let you go, so let us know what's happening with Reflex right now.
So the new single came out last week, which is One You Want. I've got the album out on April the 16th, and then I'm going to follow the album with a fan-made video, which I did a couple of years ago for one of my songs called Since You Left Me Lonely. I just sent out a message.
Oh, love that one.
Yeah, sent out a message to my fans going, look, I want you all to mime along to this, and I'll make a video of you all doing that. And this was early days, so I didn't have that many followers then, so I'm going to do that. When the album comes out with one of the songs from the album, hopefully get inundated with footage that I can use. And then around July time, I think the limited edition vinyl and CDs comes. And then just after that will be the next volume of songs I wish I'd written.
Excellent. Can you give us a little hint of what's on there?
What's on that one?
I can only tell you that they're songs that I wish I'd written.
I set myself up for that
you
one.
Did. Yeah. I've actually, it's probably going to be more on it than usual. It's probably going to be quite a few on it, because I've been, because of the COVID and the lockdown, I've been had time on my hands. So I've recorded a few more than I should have done. So I'll probably end up just sticking them all on there.
That's great.
Yeah, so it'll be good fun to see. But yeah, there's quite an eclectic mix. There's going to be some songs on there that I don't think I've ever heard of. The original versions. Although I can reveal that the Beautiful Ones by Prince is on there, because I put that on my video, on my Facebook. I did a performance of it on my thing, and everyone was going, "I can't wait for it to come." So that's going to be on there.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, LaFlex, listen, thank you so much. I tell you, we love you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Eddie. I really appreciate you guys supporting me. And please, you know, carry on. Fight the good fight. The word is slowly spreading, so it's absolutely great. And, of course, listen, if you want me to come on again, I'm more than happy to come on and we'll chat further.
Awesome.
Oh, that'll be great.
Our
pleasure, man.
No problem.
All right, LaFlex, good night.
Good night. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Be well. Bye-bye. Bye.